Amen. Thank you, Tim. Thank you, everyone. Yeah, tonight, looking forward, with everything that's gone on over the last year and a half, you know, we haven't done a lot of getting together as packed churches. We did do Good Friday here back in April, but it's just been a little bit harder. So I'm excited about this Thanksgiving service at Calvary Tabernacle. One of the pastors actually texted me last night, and he said there were 12 people in his church, not the church we're going to, but between in his church or connected to families in his church that had COVID. And he says, I don't know, you know, should we? And so, you know, I talked to the pastor, Vince, there, and I said, you know, a little concern was raised or whatever. And we're just of this mindset. People are adults and people make decisions, okay? And it's your choice. Certainly don't want you to do something that you feel might put your health at risk, but at the same time, I encourage you, if you're so inclined, love to be there. Ken and Doug are doing a special. Our very own Ken Degnan and Doug Egling are doing a special tonight at that service, so I'm looking forward to that. As we were praying and worshiping this morning, I got I tried to get that message to Tim. That's okay. From Sheila Doty, that Dennis's surgery is, oh, it's done. It's within the hour. Okay, so I'm not sure. I didn't look at the exact time that text came. So he's getting prepped or maybe even already headed into surgery today. So just remember that in your prayers. So this morning, the title of the message is You Shall Receive Power. And if you recall last week, I began with this verse, and we're going to start here again this week. Acts 1:8, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. So last week, the title of the message last week was You Shall Be Witnesses, which is found in that verse, the third and fourth line there, you shall be witnesses. And I talked a lot about that last week, that being a witness is not just something that we do. It's not an act or something that we perform once in a while. We're going to go witnessing, even though that's another form of the word and it can get used that way. But in our text, in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, that word is a noun. And it refers to part of our identity, who we are. That we are witnesses. So that's what I talked about last week. And I said that in many cases, we are witnessing before we ever open our mouths because we are witnesses. That is part of our identity now as children of God. But this verse has two you shalls in it, right? It's you shall be witnesses, what we talked about last week, but even prior to that, in the beginning of the verse, the other you shall is that you shall receive power. You shall be witnesses, you shall receive power. Now, which one to do first, which one to talk about first? You know, I talked about you shall be witnesses last week. And so this week I want to talk about and follow up and talk about the other part of that verse, you shall receive power. And here's the thing, I don't think that as a church, or I shouldn't say, you know, just Harvest, but as the church, the bigger church, that we've always done a very good job at linking these two things together. The importance of being empowered by the Holy Spirit to be witnesses. The two are connected. In order to be an effective witness for Jesus Christ, we must be empowered by the Holy Spirit. Right? That's kind of simple. It's not very complicated, at least in terms of, you know, as a concept. In order to be an effective witness for Christ, we need the power of the Holy Spirit. On the one hand, we often talk about and emphasize the power of the Holy Spirit, the accompanying gifts of the Spirit, but we don't always connect it to the why. Why did God deem it so important and necessary for His church to be empowered by the Holy Spirit? Is it for personal enrichment? Is it just so that we can practice gifts of the Spirit and things like that in the midst of the four walls of the church? You know, what's the purpose? What's the reason? Why God wanted to give his church the power of the Holy Spirit. You know, this idea of the operation of the Spirit just being something that happens inside the church, I've used this analogy, a lot of times, but I heard it years ago and it's just stuck with me. And that's like all the employees at Walmart going to work in the morning and locking the doors and not letting any customers in and just selling merchandise to one another, you know, and saying, man, we had a great day, you know. We just had a super day, today, selling merchandise to one another. So, I'm going to talk more specifically today about that and about the operation of the Holy Spirit in our lives and as it pertains to sharing our faith and being the witnesses that God has called us to. And I hope at the end of the message, my hope and my intention is to extend an invitation to pray with you for this and for the gifts of the Holy Spirit and the operation of those things in your life. So the power of the Holy Spirit is something that empowers us to be witnesses for Christ. So on the one hand, we have, this emphasis on the power of the Holy Spirit. On the other hand, we talk a lot about evangelism. We talk a lot about reaching other people for Christ. But if we don't connect the two together, what we end up with sometimes is our efforts at reaching others for Christ end up being done in our own strength. And that will not bear fruit. If we're doing what we're doing in our own strength, that can never be successful without the reliance upon the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, one of my favorite books from years ago, I pulled it off the shelf this week because I had all this going through my mind, spending a couple of weeks in this verse, was a book by John Wimber. He's long, gone to be with the Lord, but he wrote a book years ago, and I've shared from it. I remember years and years ago having some small group thing at our house and talking about this book. I don't remember what it was. I don't know if it was a leaders meeting or a home group. I don't know what it was, but I remember talking about this book and how it just had really transform my thinking about this. The book is called, did I say this already? I said it was John Wimber, but the book is called Power Evangelism. And the crux of the book is what I'm talking about right now. The empowerment of the Holy Spirit intended to help us reach others for Christ. And I stand here today, I am not the poster child for, being super effective and successful at this. But I still believe, and this is, you hear me say this a lot, I don't want to bring the Word of God down to my experience. I want to stretch myself, to go after, to press on for the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. I want my life to change. I don't want to adjust the Word of God to fit where I'm at in my life. So I'm just, hoping to rekindle a fire in my heart, in your heart, that this is what this is about. We've made it all about sometimes, I think, again, just something that's for us and, whatever gift of the Spirit we're talking about, whether it's tongues or prophecy or whatever, that it's just all about us. And it's not. It's about outside. It's about ways that we can reach others. And I'm not saying... Although Harold Bredesen did do this, Harold Bredesen, if you know the name, you know it. I don't have time to, but great father in the faith, great man of God. He's the only person I ever heard of that did this. But I'm not saying that you walk up to somebody in Walmart and speak in tongues, kind of thing. That's not what we're talking about, Although, and the reason I mentioned Harold Bredesen was in a foreign country, he was lost, and he felt like the Holy Spirit said, just go up to that taxi and just begin to speak in tongues. And the driver said, in whatever language, get in the back seat, and took him to where he needed to go. So that's the only time I've ever heard of that. But somebody said if you look up Pentecost or Pentecostal in the dictionary, that in some there were Harold Bredesen's picture was there. Wasn't he? He was Pat Robertson's father in the faith. Yeah. So, but but there are things like, you know, a word of knowledge where God just speaks something to your spirit about a situation, or a word of wisdom, or discerning of spirits, or healing, or miracles. You know, there's so many ways that we can rely upon the Holy Spirit to break through barriers. See, that's really what it's about. There's barriers in people's hearts and minds related to the gospel. And sometimes when they can hear or see or experience something that they know is beyond the realm of what we might be able to do in our own natural strength or whatever, you know, that can have a way of affecting people. And that's, and my favorite story from scripturally, and I've shared it with you before, is from John chapter 4, the story of the woman in the well. But before I get there, I just wanted to say one more thing. I do want to look at John chapter 4. I'm not going to read the story, but I'm going to talk about it. But I wanted to say this. At the risk of sounding sexist, I want to use an analogy, okay? Now, I'm sure that a lot of women, by a show of hands, if you want, have used power tools before. How many women here have used power tools, right? Right? I mean, I don't see a lot of hands going up, huh?
Maybe once.
A lot of women have used power tools and certainly very capably, and such, whether it's cordless drills or whatever, you know. But at the same time, Lori has never asked me for a DeWalt 20-volt impact driver for her birthday, you know? I don't know. I don't know any women who've, maybe some have, and God bless you if you have. But I know a lot of guys that have asked for those kind of things for their birthday, right? Because those kind of power tools tend to fire up guys sometimes more than they do the ladies. And, I mean, how many guys have asked for, you know, power tools for your birthday or for Christmas, right? I mean, we probably all of us have at one point or another. Why am I going down this road, you know? Because power tools are amazing things. And, you know, even when I was young and started working on cars and stuff, you know, we had power tools. They were either air tools, or, you know, if we had electric, you know, like buffers that we were rubbing on a car, you know, after we painted or whatever, you know, everything had cords back in the day, right? And you got to be careful you don't get the cord wrapped around the buffer, that's a bad day. But, you know, now with technology and batteries and cordless stuff, it's amazing, right? It's just amazing. I know there's still, I don't know if it was my dad or grandfather or something. I remember in some old toolbox seeing an old hand drill, you know, where there was two styles. One is you kind of held a knob and there was the bit and you turned like that. And then there was the guy, I think the next phase was one with gears, you know, you turn like that. And, you know, and I know that there's probably craftsmen today that just old time guys that just love that and do that kind of work and use hand tools and God bless them. You know, that's a really cool thing. But, you know, I was thinking Rick and Dee are gone, this week, but I was thinking about Rick and, you know, Gary, all us guys that Jack and Tom and all, yeah, everybody has been, where I don't want to start naming names. Everybody, so many people have worked on the building. Imagine doing this all with just hand tools, right? And the amazing thing is, for centuries and centuries, that's exactly what people did, right? They built houses, they built big things, and they did it all by hand. No pneumatic nailers, no power saws, no cordless drills, no diesel backhoes and bulldozers, no ready-mix trucks to mix concrete. Can you imagine, you know, the 88 yards or whatever I think it was we poured here when we did the floor? Imagine doing all that by mixing by hand and stuff like that. And the amazing thing is that for centuries, that's exactly what people did. But there's not too many people today, unless they're like into the nostalgia of the old way or whatever, that are going to try to do things without power tools. And my point is this. God has a toolbox. He has a tool chest with power tools in it. And sometimes we're content to use the old-fashioned, you know, hand crank. And, you know, you can build houses. And you can build large structures. You think about the cathedrals and such in Europe that were built. I mean, some of them took generations to build. We're so like instant, you know. I mean, some of these cathedrals, I remember over in England and, you know, Canterbury and going through these, you know, cathedrals, and they took generations to build because it was all done by hand. So you can build things by hand, obviously. So no analogy is perfect. Because while you can build things by hand, you cannot do the work of God's Spirit in our own strength. You cannot, right? And so it will just not bear fruit in our lives. So getting out to John chapter 4, just talk about that for a couple of minutes. I won't take the time to read the whole story. It's a long story. It's the story of Jesus going to Samaria with his disciples. They go to a town named Sychar. His disciples go off to buy food, and he's left there in what I presume would be the town square by the well in the town of Sychar, and a Samaritan woman comes to draw water, and Jesus asks her for a drink from the well. So that's the basis of the story. And the woman is amazed because she's a Samaritan and he's a Jew, and there's a great tension between those two peoples, and they didn't get along well and such, so she doesn't understand why Jesus is talking to her, and he was a man, she was a woman. There's all that other stuff going on, the cultural things and such. So they have this interaction, and they talk about a lot of stuff. They talk about worship. Remember, she says, should we worship in Jerusalem? That's where the Jews worship. Should we worship in the mountains of Samaria where our fathers have worshiped? They talk about the water from the well versus living water. Jesus talks about living water. I can give you water. You'll never thirst again. Right? All this is going on. And there's so much in that story. And then as it proceeds along, Jesus says to her, what? Go call your husband. Go call your husband. Now, do you think that that was just a random request? Right? That, you know, it's like the Kirby vacuum salesman, right? He comes to the house, he does a demonstration, and he knows he's getting close to making the sale. You know, he's getting there. He's going to land the plane pretty soon, right? Salesman's got to know how to seal the deal, so to speak. But maybe, you know, this is kind of, you know, back in times past. And so he thinks maybe it would be good to get the man of the house here, you know, because this thing's $1,000 or whatever, even though it costs $35 to make probably. But anyways, so this Kirby vacuum cleaners, they're expensive and such. And is the man of the house here? You know, I'd like to show him or whatever. And, you know, it's not that kind of thing. It's not just a random request. It's not just, well, I'm talking to you. I'd like to talk to your husband too. Jesus is responding to a prompting of the Spirit of God that is touching on the very thing that's keeping that woman from the kingdom of God. That being her dysfunction, if you will, in relationships. And Jesus says, you have answered correctly. You do not have a husband now, and you've been married five times, and the man that you're living with now is not your husband, right? Many of you know the story. So, you know, and I just want to just park here for a second and say this. And I heard Ron Dominis say this not long ago, a couple months ago. This woman, this Samaritan woman, has always gotten, I think, a bad rap in the church. That she was kind of a loose woman, that her morals were low, and that she was promiscuous or whatever. She's had five husbands and all. And Ron said something, and I was like, in that day, I know, you know, it's hard for us to comprehend all this, but in that culture, women could not divorce men. You understand what I'm saying? Men could divorce women. They could initiate a divorce if they wanted to divorce a woman, but it was culturally not acceptable for a woman to divorce a man. I know that's all messed up, and, you know, I mean, divorce is a heartbreak in God's heart in any situation. But, I mean, it was just kind of weird back, you know, the way the culture was and such like that. So all of a sudden, I'm thinking about that. She didn't walk out on these men. These men dumped her five different times. And so Ron, and there's no way of knowing this for sure, but he was saying, you know, maybe she was barren. Maybe she couldn't have children. She marries a guy, and he, you know, they can't have children, so he divorces her. She marries another guy, you know, and maybe, who knows? And all I'm saying, and this doesn't have any bearing on this particular story and what I'm talking about today, but I just changed my view of this woman. You know, she's a desperate lady, you know, and now she's maybe with a guy just because, you know, marriage hasn't worked out because I haven't been able to bear any of these husbands' children, and so I want to have companionship or whatever. You know, it just gives me a different light about this woman. And, you know, if that means anything to you, that's fine. But that's kind of beyond the point of where I'm going today. When the woman says that she's not married, Jesus responds, and again, you're speaking truth, you've been married 5 times, and the man you're with now is not your husband. And Jesus is revealing something to this woman that he could not have known except by a word of knowledge from the Spirit of God. And that revelation served to break down walls in her life and resistance that she would have from receiving a message from this Jewish man. And again, we got to learn to walk before we can run, right? I mean, this is Jesus talking, and I've heard stories, and even John Wimber shares stories in that book about how God used him at different times to speak a word into someone's life that could only be by the Spirit of the Lord. And so, you know, I'm not suggesting that, you know, you again, you know, walk into Walmart and say, oh, you know, God should. Maybe we can get to that place, and praise God, I hope we do. But it is very appropriate, you know, to pray for people. You know, they're going through a hard time, they're battling something in their life or whatever, to pray for them, ask God, to seek God for wisdom and things, to meet unspoken needs that people have, you know, to reach out to them, to give them groceries or to knock on their door, see if they need help. There's so many ways. This isn't just fanciful, you know, theoretical stuff up in the atmosphere or whatever. We've got to find ways, practically speaking, to listen to the Spirit of God and respond and do things to be a blessing to people that could very potentially lower the defenses in their life and make them more receptive to the message of the gospel. You with me? You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me. We have to start thinking about what this looks like in our lives. You know, it's one thing to talk about, oh, I read about it in a book, or I see the story in John chapter, whatever. What does this look like in my life? What does this look like in your life? Take a minute and think about that. God, if this is true, if the empowerment of the Holy Spirit is meant for me to be a more effective witness to for you, for the gospel, for the message of Christ, what does that look like in my life? How do you want to use me? So just take a minute or more than a minute and think about what it would look like in your life. Now, you know, as I'm kind of trying to bring this around and close here shortly, I know that there are disagreements in the church in regards to the work of the Holy Spirit, in regards to the spiritual gifts today and such like that. And you know, if you know me and we've walked together for any length of time, you know the love that I have for the body of Christ, Pentecostal, charismatic, non-Pentecostal, whatever. You know, I'm there. I love the church. I've got many friends, many co-laborers, many brothers in Christ that we walk together. And I know that there's people even in this church, you know, who are uncertain about all this. And I'll just say this. I'll just address this for a second. If you believe this is the church that God has called you to, but, you know, you're not sure about some of the gifts of the Spirit and things like that, and you're uncertain about that, and I promise you this, I will not beat you over the head about it. But I also ask this of you. I'm not going to shy away from who I am and who we as a church are. You know, I'm not going to shy away from this because this is who we are. This is, you know, I've been with the Lord for over 40 years, and not that makes me the end-all expert on everything by any means. But this is who I am. And I'm not going to beat you over the head. I mean, but please allow me to preach about it as I am. I'm not going to beat you over the head about it, but please don't ask me to try to be something I'm not either. I want more of the Spirit of God in my life. And it's just my passion. And so I hope we're all good with that. And I believe, I said this a couple months ago, you know, my simple theology is this. Anything that the Spirit of God did in and through the early church is still available to the church today. It's just kind of my simplistic theology. If in that world, God thought it was necessary in the first century church that it was important to have these gifts functioning, you know, so that the church could be more effective in reaching people with the gospel, how much more necessary? This is just my heart in this. How much more necessary is that today? And I know that one of the arguments is, well, the early church didn't have the Bible. They didn't have the scriptures assembled, the 66 books of the Bible, the canon of scripture that we have today. And I'll tell you, I just don't feel like that holds a lot of water. That's just my heart in that. And sometimes I think we talk these things away as a way to accommodate the fact that we've kind of lost our edge a little bit in the church. We are much more comfortable studying the Word. And I'll say it again, I'm a Word guy. I love the scriptures. But we're much more comfortable studying the Word than we are doing the stuff. And I use that specific phrase, doing the stuff, because there was a young evangelist that I heard years ago. He got saved. He started going to a church. And he's just zealous. He's just on fire for God. And he's reading his Bible. And one day he went to a deacon in the church. And he said, "When do we get to do the stuff?" And the deacon's like, "What are you talking about?" He said, "You know, the stuff I'm reading about in the Bible." And he said, "Oh, okay. Well, you're young and you're emotional and you're overzealous. And, you know, when you mature, you'll understand that that's not for today." And I'm just not there. I think the stuff is for today. And again, I'll say it as a confession. You know, I'm not the poster child for being so, you know, I'm a pretty laid back guy, kind of conservative. Maybe I'm not laid back, but but I'm pretty, you know, conservative, my personality and such. And, you know, but I hunger, you know, for more of God's Spirit at work in my life. And that's the best I can say. You know, you're stuck with me. So here I am today, and I'm just trying to prod you a little bit. And just trying to encourage you a little bit, talking about the power of the Holy Spirit. It's not just a message for Pentecost Sunday, you know. Amen? The Bible says in Ephesians 5:18, come on. Nothing's happened. Ephesians 5:18 says, "Do not be drunk with wine in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit." The tense of that word, filled, is, and I don't, you know, Tim's talking about tenses and conjugating verbs and such, and it's some form of an imperative tense, but there's something else to it. It's not just imperative. There's something, and I can't remember what it all is, but it means continually be filled with the Spirit. It's not just say, "Hey, I did that 20 years ago," right? I have a Holy Spirit prayer that I pray often. I won't say every day, but often. And it's just, I took a bunch of scriptures related to the Holy Spirit. You know, "You are my teacher. You are my guide. You teach me how to pray. You help me to pray because I don't know how to pray. You provide spiritual power. You help me to walk in fellowship with you. You help me to live a holy life pleasing to God and not, you know, give in to the desires of the flesh." And I go on, I've got all these things in scriptures, and I just pray that on a regular basis because I want more of the Spirit of God in my life. I want to be filled with the Spirit today, not just 10 years ago. I've shared my salvation testimony many times, but I don't know. I'm sure I have. I know I've shared this before, but just before we close, I'll share this one story with you. So I'm not a Christian yet. I'm working at Grease Collision with my buddy, my friend Melvin Simmons, one of the guys that worked there, and you've heard me mention him many, many times. And so we talked a lot about faith in Christ, and finally it came to the place where Mel said, come to church with me. On Tuesday night, we have a Bible study. And he said, you know, because he knows I haven't been in church since I was 12 years old, 13 years old, and I had never been in a church, you know, like his church or whatever. I didn't know anything about anything. And but he says, "Just a Bible study. The pastor just shares from the Bible. You know, it won't hurt you." And so I finally said, okay. So I go one Tuesday, and forgive me for those who have heard the story before, but I know some haven't. And it's a very small church, and on Tuesday night, there might have been a dozen people there. On Sunday, I went a few times on Sunday too, but eventually, but maybe 30 people or whatever. So there's maybe a dozen people there. But when I say there's a dozen people there, I want you to understand that the demographics of the church were 70 to 80 plus year old little elderly women. Okay? And, Careful. Elderly women. And the pastor's probably 80 years old. Pastor Oswald, love him to death. And so the Bible study starts kind of, I don't remember how it all happened, but all of a sudden I realized this ain't a normal Tuesday night Bible study. There's a missionary there. And I didn't even know what a missionary was probably at the time, but and so he gets up, he's got his Kodak carousel slide thing, you know, and he does his little presentation. I don't remember what country he was did missions work in or whatever, but he goes through all of his slides and talks about all the things that had happened. Then he probably shared a couple of verses. I don't remember any of it. And I don't say that in any negative way toward him. It was 45 years ago. I don't remember any of the details, but I remember this. He got all done and he said, "Let's all come up front and seek the Lord." And I kind of look at my friend like, those are English words, but I don't have any idea what they mean. What does he mean? And so all these little elderly women get out of their pews and they make their way to the front. And I don't know, I'm 19 years old and I, and my buddy's probably 30, and, you know, I just feel like I'm really out of place there, but, you know, I already stick out like a sore thumb. So I said, well, I don't know, I don't know what this is about, but I go forward too, right? First time I've ever been. And these little elderly women, they get down on their knees. I knelt down during worship. We were singing a song that talked about being on our knees, and I don't know, I just felt like, and I realized I felt like those women today, kneeling down, and got down there, didn't know if I could get back up. So they all kind of, you know, come to the altar and they get themselves down and they're on their knees. And so I'm like, okay, when in Rome, right? And so I get down on my knees and, you know, I'm not saved. I don't know anything about anything. And I'm like, what am I doing here? And all of a sudden they start all praying in tongues. And I was like, you know, I'm not in Kansas anymore sort of thing. I was like, what is going on? You've got to understand, I had no context whatsoever for any of this. I had no clue. And even my buddy, he was a young Christian too, and he was kind of like looking at me like, well, you know, he said, this doesn't, you know, like, told me afterwards, we don't usually do, you know. And, but that was my first experience. Eventually, you know, I did get saved, and eventually I did get filled with the Holy Spirit, and that's a whole other story, but, you know, it's just, so I'm sensitive, you know, to all the things that people go through sometimes in regards to this. Time does not allow me to go through. I have an entire teaching where I just try to go through one scripture after another, the five instances in the book of Acts where the, you know, where the baptism of the Holy Spirit was, came upon people and how what happened, the response that they had and such like that. And I don't have time, you know, I'm not going to take the time to go through all of that today. But one of the important things I just want you to understand, without going through every one of the verses, is that the baptism of the Holy Spirit and the outpouring of the gifts of the Spirit is something different than how we receive the Spirit at salvation. And, you know, when we have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit versus that, what's the other verse there, you know, receiving the power of the Holy Spirit. And you'll see again and again in scripture, it was two separate things. Can God do it all at once? Of course he can. He's God. He can do what he wants. So, as we prepare to come, I'm going to ask Kenny and if the worship team, whoever's available to come up, I just want to, take a little bit of time and, you know, just have some time of prayer. I'll give these guys a couple of minutes to get their instruments ready and such like that. I just want to make that opportunity available for you, whether it's for the first time or whether you've been a Christian for a long time and you're kind of relating to that you know, being filled continually with the Spirit sort of thing. I just want to emphasize that today. That's kind of been my focus, and I just want to really drive that point home and prod us a little bit. Because you know what? Those tools that we were talking about, God's power tools and such like that, I know what it's like that, you know, it all kind of goes back burner in our lives sometimes, you know, and we need to be stirred up. We need to be stirred up again and again and again, because I know what it's like to just kind of start going through, I don't want to say go through the motions, not like I don't love Jesus, but I just kind of forget that, you know, God has blessed us and God has given us so much, everything that pertains to life and godliness, and He wants that for our lives, and we just are content to go along with our hand drill sort of thing, you know, trying to do what we're doing. I want to ask you to stand, please. And just tried to present this in a way today of why is this important? Why? You know, it's one thing to talk about what the Scripture says about, you know, about the Holy Spirit. It's another thing, you know, why? Why is that for us today? And why I believe it is. And I know it's sometimes, you know, in our Western rational minds, you know, we want things all, you know, we want to be able to understand things and know where everything fits and such like that. And I always say this to people, even to people who are unsure. The Bible says in Luke chapter 11, verse 13, actually, I think I've got it up here. If you then being evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him? Meaning, you know, I'm not sure whatever. What? Just ask God, right? And I know many maybe have asked God and haven't, you know, got the answer or haven't figured, you know, what, understand how God works in that way. But I will say this, even the staunchest critics of the experience of the baptism and the gifts of the Spirit, even the staunchest critics have got to admit that it was in the Bible and that was something that was practiced in the days of Scripture. And, you know, so you say, well, I think it's kind of strange. Well, you know, then join the company of the Apostle Paul and all the other, you know, early disciples. You know, maybe they thought it was strange too. But so I don't know what else to say. I you know, sometimes you got to just know when to shut up and stop talking and start praying, right? So I just want to, you know, ask Ken just come up, have the worship team just, I don't know, have some song or songs that they want to just share. Just because I think worship is a wonderful environment, you know, to be seeking after God. And I'm just going to ask you again. I've asked this before. We've done this before. We'll do it again, and we'll do it again, and we'll do it again, and we'll do it again, you know. If you want to receive prayer, you know, whether it's for the first time or another, you know, I need this. I need more of this. I'm just going to ask you to come forward. Yeah, you can pray in your seat. Of course you can, but there's something about just taking a step of faith. So as the worship team plays, I'm going to ask you if anybody wants to respond to what I say. And I just want to pray for people. I've asked, you know, Tim, I've asked a couple of others, John and Alicia, you know, if people do respond, I know, you know, I don't know. I don't think I'm particularly good at, you know, making these kind of invitations. I don't know. I enjoy preaching, but sometimes when it comes to this, I struggle with, you know, how to do that. But, so I don't know. But if anybody wants to come, we'll just be here. We just want to pray with you. We just want to pray and just pray that God would do what God, only God can do. So the altar is open. The worship team's going to play. I'm hungry. I hope you're hungry too. Doesn't matter how many times you've come. Doesn't matter if you've never come. Doesn't matter. Just if you feel the Lord tugging on your heart. You know, I was somewhere. I was at a service recently. And, it was Mario Murillo. He said, you know, the devil's telling you, don't you dare do that. And, right? We all have those voices that go through our minds. So worship team, you can play. The altar's open. I extend the invitation. Just want to pray for you. Just want to pray over you. Just want to just pray that God can do what God wants to do. Ken, please come forward if you're inclined.